Okay, we'll call the meeting of the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee to order for February 2nd at 1:40. And again, Senator Giesel is with us, Senator Davis is with us, and I apologize, but they needed my vote in Senate Transportation. And Senator Pascman will be with us shortly. He's picking up family. And Senator Bernard was in the committee I just departed, so she will be here shortly as well. We have two bills on the agenda. Senate Bill 122, Real Estate Transfer Fees, Title Plants. We have heard this already, we haven't heard the bill. It seems like we've heard it already because we've been talking about it for weeks. It has no further referral, and it's sponsored by our committee. We'll take public testimony, and we will hold the bill as is normal for our committee. Then the next one is Senate Bill 138, Third-Party Charges on Telephone Bills. Has a further referral to Judiciary. Sponsor is Senator Wilkowski. And we will conduct public testimony on this one as well and hold it. First up, Senate Bill 122, Real Estate Transfer Fees and Title Plants. Dana Owen and my staff will present the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, I'm Dana Owen. I'm staff of the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee. The bill is as introduced has two sections. For the moment, I'd like to skip Section 1 and proceed to Section 2. We received from the Community and Regional Affairs Committee a committee substitute, which contains only the second section of the bill that we introduced. So I'd like to go over that for you and explain what that's all about. Currently in Alaska law, it is possible to have what is called a transfer fee covenant when a title is exchanged in a piece of land. Those covenants have been, as I understand it now, have been outlawed in 41 other states. Interestingly, the first instance I can find of that being prohibited is in New York, where the courts outlawed it and termed it, quote, a vestige of feudalism. If you're unfamiliar with real estate transfer fee covenants, the way it's been explained to me, I've never seen one before, but apparently it is a covenant attached to a deed that mandates that every time the title changes hands, that a fee be paid back to the original owner of the land, or at least the first one who put it into the title. So, as I said, 41 other states have prohibited it. It seems like good public policy to outlaw those, and that's what this bill would do. Returning to the original form of the bill, the title community in Alaska is, I think I can fairly say, deeply divided over the provisions in the first section of the bill. We have been in discussions with them over potential language that might find favor with everyone. We're still searching for that answer. We don't have it yet. Linda Hall, the Division of Insurance Director, has been in conversations with them and with us to try and find some kind of accommodation. We're still working on that and hope we can achieve it, but we're not ready for that yet today.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Owen. Questions for the presenter, Senator Giesel.
Mr. Chair, so the bill that we're dealing with is 122 version B, Bravo?
Mr. Chairman, yes.
Okay, correct. But you referred to A Alpha as well.
Yes.
Just for, thank right. you.
And I would like to welcome Senator Menard to the hearing as well.
Thank you.
Further questions for Mr. Owen? So it's our intention just to hear public testimony and then hold it and try to come to a resolution, and we can bring it back.
Mr. Chairman, if you give me a moment, I'll get you the list of names.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Owen. We'll take a brief at ease. Okay, we'll reconvene the meeting of Senate Labor and Commerce.
Mr. Chair?
Senator Giesel.
Are we supposed to have a motion to adopt the CS before us?
Yes. I apologize.
Okay. All right. I move that the committee adopt the CS for Senate Bill number 122, version B, Bravo.
Right, I'll object for testimony. Thank you, Senator Giesel. I apologize. We do have two people available to answer questions. We have Crystal Patola with Alaska USA Title Agency. She's here to provide answers to questions that we may have. And we also have Director of the Division of Insurance, Linda Hall, via teleconference in Anchorage. And Ms. Hall is available to answer questions as well, but she is not planning on testifying. So if any member of the committee has questions for Ms. Hall or for Ms. Patola.
I don't have a question.
Senator Davis.
I was wondering if
would you like to hear from the director?
Come up and explain this bill to me, because I'm confused as to what we have here. I see that we have the bill that we had back in 4811.
Right.
And then we have the change that was made in CRA. And this totally different from what's on the page. I want to know exactly what this bill does. And
Mr. Owen, if you can come forward again and explain those changes, or Director Hall, if you can, if you're online immediately following Mr. Owen, we'll call on you as well.
Linda Hall. I am online.
Great, thank you, Linda. We'll hear from Dana, and then we'll go to you.
Fine.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Davis, just by point of clarification, the bill we have before us is the Community and Regional Affairs CS for the bill, and what they did there was to take out the first section of that original bill. The reason I brought it up was because we may see an amendment or another committee substitute in here, and I wanted to make you aware of the fact that we were working on the bill and there will be some changes forthcoming. We don't know exactly what those are yet, though, Senator Davis.
And again, Senator Davis, this bill is not going out of this committee.
Oh, I understand you said that also.
Right.
But the document that we're really working on is B.
Is B.
Okay.
Director Hall.
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
If you could answer Senator Davis's questions.
First of all, I apologize for the way I sound. I have something and it makes me sound like a frog, I guess.
Well, it's because you're getting close to retirement.
Yes. the bill /B version is identical to Section 2 in the original version A. It's removed, as Mr. Owen indicated. Section 1, that made a difference in the length of time title records had to be kept. And there's some discussion going on about what is an appropriate amount of time. So Section 1 was removed, leaving only Section 2 at this point. And I think Section 2 is, Mr. Owen indicated, is good public policy, because it does away with what would be an additional cost for certain consumers every time a property changed hands. So I think this section has been agreed to as good legislation by the people that I've talked to. And so I don't know, Senator Davis, if you have other questions.
No, I don't. I just wanted to hear what your opinion was of this particular piece of legislation.
Okay. Well, my opinion of this bill in its current form is supportive. Now, if it changes to another form, then we'll have to look at the changes.
Of course.
Great. Thank you, Director Hall. And seriously, on behalf of the entire Senate Labor and Commerce Committee, we thank you for all your years of service to the state of Alaska, and we really do seriously hate to see you announce your retirement. Thanks, Linda.
Thank you. Thank you very much for the compliment.
We do have Crystal Botola signed up to answer questions, and Ms. Botola, we really would like to hear from you if you are available to provide your take on the bill as it's currently written.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, my name is Crystal Peltola. I'm with Alaska USA Title Agency. I'm the Vice President and General Manager. I started the company 4 years ago, and we currently have 5 branches throughout the state. As the bill has been, or as the CS has been presented, we are in favor of this bill as well. The transfer fee tax prohibiting those fees is good for consumers, and we fully support Senate Bill 122 as it stands right now. But again, if they're to reiterate what Ms. Hall said, if it changes, then we probably have some concerns over those changes. There has been talk going back and forth as to what might be acceptable language, but until we actually see what is being proposed, it's a little hard to rebut something that I haven't seen. So.
Great. Thank you, Ms. Botola. Senator Giesel.
Thank you. Ms. Botola, then you're, I guess, kind of revoking your letter of January 24th that expressed concerns and opposition to SB 122. That must have been the first version you were speaking toward?
Right. And I'm not, you know, if Section 1 comes back in or some format of that, we would be still opposed to that. So I'm really not revoking that. I mean, that letter stood as SB 22 was written at that time. As SB 122 is currently written as presented today, we don't have any opposition to that.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much. Senator Giesel, further questions for Ms. Botola? Great. Thank you very much, Crystal. And welcome back to Juneau.
Thank you.
And we do have on off-net Raymond Davis, Vice President of Old Republic Title Company in Seattle. Mr. Davis, are you online?
I'm here.
Oh, you're here. No wonder you're not online. Okay.
Thank you. I believe I've corresponded with each of the senators on the committee as to our company's position on this, and I'll just very quickly echo what Crystal said. Generally, we think the prohibition on transfer fees is good public policy, as has been stated, has been adopted in most of the states across the country in the last couple of years. And this, if I digress just quickly, there was, for lack of a better phrase, it was kind of what I would call a scheme created several years ago by an organization back east. That kind of put these packages together for real estate developers, and when they develop some property and sell off the lots, they kind of had the fine print type of thing in the deeds that said anytime that property then was sold in the future, anywhere from a half a percent to 1% of the sales price would go back to that developer. It's kind of a sleeper fee, almost a tax, for lack of a better analysis, and which, kind of, again, for lack of a better phrase, seems kind of sneaky and unfair. And I think most of the title associations across the country kind of got together and encouraged legislatures to prohibit that, and that's generally what has happened. So, again, we would speak in favor of that. Again, our concern, of course, as I stated in my letter and as Crystal has talked about, is the any changes, however, to the current title licensing laws in the state that we think work just fine now, and we were very concerned that the proponents, obviously not the senators, but the industry proponents of the legislation were seeking to restrict competition and even potentially put current companies out of business. And when you get into that licensing stuff and the title plan laws, you get into a fairly technical area that the people in the industry obviously understand, but to the outsiders, it's, again, it's a technical business. But we thought that it was Not a good thing because of the restriction on competition that would result from it. And we generally support open markets. Obviously, there has to be some type of licensing of businesses, and but that licensing has to be restricted to issues that obviously protect the public, and that those restrictions should not be in place to protect the guys in business against other people that want to come in or are currently kind of threatening that their market share. So I really have to say.
Raymond, before you leave,
yes.
Can you give your name, affiliation, and title for the record, please?
Yes, my name is Raymond Davis. I'm a vice president of Old Republic National Title Insurance Company. Old Republic is licensed to do business in Alaska. We work with title agencies such as Alaska USA Title Agency and others in the state. I am personally located in Seattle.
Okay, great. And
yeah.
Questions for Mr. Davis? I have one. So yeah. You're not opposed to us eliminating Section 1 out of the
No, we think Section 1 should be eliminated, yes.
Great, yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much for the testimony.
Thank you.
Is there anyone online or anyone in the audience that hasn't signed up that wishes to testify? Seeing none? With the committee's rule, we'll just hold the bill. And
Mr. Chairman, before Senator you said Davis. That you're holding the bill, you said that you're going to hold it.
Right.
People that testified said they are in agreement what we have in A and B. They are in agreement. Who is this not in an agreement with this? You say you need to go back and do some work. Well, who are the other driving figures in this? I don't understand. If they're here saying they support it and we don't have anybody speaking up saying they don't,
so
what are they asking and who are they talking to?
Right now, there's no opposition.
There's no opposition.
Everybody has agreed because we.
You said you were going to do.
It was just because that's what we normally do in the committees.
Oh, I understand that part of it.
You're going to hold the bill.
So there are no other driving.
There are no other driving forces right now that are in opposition.
All right.
But we just plan on bringing it up.
Yeah, that's
next
fine.
Week. Okay.
I have a problem with that.
Thank you, Senator. Further questions from Senator Geisler or Senator Menard? Great. We'll hold the bill, and we will. Hear it very soon. Next on the agenda, the only other bill on the agenda, Senate Bill 138, third-party charges on telephone bills, has a further referral to Judiciary. And welcome back, Senator Wilikowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good to see you again, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Bill Wilikowski. I'm a state senator representing Northeast Anchorage. And my staff is going to set up a presentation that we'll do in a few minutes, Mr. Chairman. I'll just give a real quick overview on what the bill does. This bill would ban the practice of unauthorized charges being placed on telephone bills. This is something that many people don't know about. I didn't know about this until it was brought to my attention, but this is a multi-billion dollar industry which harms small businesses, it harms governments, it harms individuals, and this is a consumer protection bill to try to protect people from unauthorized cramming of charges onto their phone bills. And the intent of this bill is not to ban all cases of third-party billing. We understand that there are legitimate cases when people want to place other bills on their telephone bill. We accept that. The intent of this is to target those services and vendors who do not obtain approval from customers before charging their bill. What we found was, as far as why cramming occurs, the industry for unauthorized charges on telephone bills is quite large. As I mentioned, multi-billion dollars. There's billions of dollars slushing around in this industry. The process for charging bills is made intentionally complex, often, and it makes the dispute process extremely difficult. You'll hear stories about people who've had bills charges placed on their phone bills who have spent hundreds of thousands of dollars trying to remove them, companies, and who've taken months to have those charges removed. And it's often difficult because the process of removing charges is difficult because of the process, and it results in a loss of time and money. This is a big problem in the lower 48. It doesn't seem to be as big of a problem in Alaska, where this is more of a preventative measure, but it probably is occurring here in Alaska, Mr. Chairman. And I think this will certainly educate a lot of people. I'm glad this is being televised because a lot of people should go home after after this hearing and check their phone bills and see what is on them. There are a number of states who are looking at legislation like this. My understanding is that Vermont, Minnesota, New York, and Virginia have passed similar legislation to this. And my staffer, Thomas Presley, is here, and he can go through this in a little bit more depth. You got a quick PowerPoint presentation explaining. It's a complicated area. At least for me, it was sort of complicated to understand, but I think it will be eye-opening. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and members of the committee.
Thank you, Senator. Let's go ahead.
Good afternoon. For the record, my name is Thomas Presley, intern for Senator Wilikowski's office. Thank you for the opportunity to present SB 138. As the Senator said, SB 138 bans the practice of adding unauthorized third-party charges to consumers' telephone bills. So, cramming began in the 1990s, and it was an unintended consequence of regulatory action that opened telephone bills to other charges. Following a spike in complaints, regulatory agencies opted for a voluntary approach by telecommunications companies to end the practice. However, current evidence suggests that the practice has not been eliminated. According to current evidence, telecommunications companies place approximately 300 million third-party charges on customers' telephone bills, equaling over $2 billion per year. One example of cramming is of a woman who noticed charges on her phone bill. And when she called to dispute them, she was told that her husband authorized the service. She explained that her husband had been dead for 13 years. Clearly, authorization was not obtained. Cramming occurs either by never interacting with customers or by using abusive marketing techniques to get customers to give them their telephone numbers. The consumer's phone number then becomes a form of tacit authorization. Cram charges are specifically those that are unauthorized. There are valuable third-party services like satellite television and long-distance coverage. These services contract directly with telephone companies. The process for contracting cram services onto bills is different and will be described later. Of the 500 people with cram charges who responded to inquiries, not a single person or business stated that they had authorized charges. Unauthorized charges occur on lines for bank vaults, elevators, 911 systems, fire alarms, governmental agencies, and schools. Obvious examples are of a modem incurring charges for voicemail, and for an emergency line incurring charges for online diet services. A telephone auditing company found more than 800 third-party vendors placed unauthorized charges on its clients' telephone bills. Consumers used words like fraud, theft, and stealing to describe their experience. This graphic by the FCC estimates that 15 to 20 million American households receive cram charges on their landline bills each year, and very few customers, only 1 in 20, are aware of these charges. These low usage rates are evidence that consumers did not authorize these services. MySNS, one third-party vendor, their voicemail service showed only 975 unique numbers dialed into their service. At the time, at least 97,000 customers were enrolled in their service. Of 64,000 telephone customers enrolled in DaData's online photo storage service, less than 2% uploaded their photos or took advantage of the service. U.S. Senate committee staff was the first to log on to the casual gaming service offered by Easy Phone Bill, despite having enrolled more than 20,000 customers and earning almost $1 million in revenue. This graphic illustrates the complex and indirect process of cramming charges. Hub companies subcontract out enrollment and authorization to lead generators, companies paid exclusively to obtain enrollments. The lead generator passes a phone number along to the hub companies, who in turn pass these onto the billing aggregators through third-party vendors. Charges are only then forwarded onto telephone bills. Third-party vendors offer services like electronic fax, photo storage, and online backup. To gain access to bills, they contract with billing aggregators. Despite their offers, many third-party vendors are actually front companies. This relationship allows hub companies, which can have hundreds of front companies beneath it, to shift enrollments to other vendors to mask large numbers of complaints. Billing aggregators, the entities which contract with phone companies to access bills, act as intermediaries between phone companies and third-party vendors. Dot Data, one hub company interviewed by U.S. Senate staff, appears to have interrelatedness with 40 third-party vendors for which they claim to provide, quote, support services, including marketing, quality control, customer service, billing, regulatory, and accounting services. Dot Data eventually admitted that they control the actual electronic fax service offered by 25 of their clients. This is a list of the 25 companies who offer electronic fax service, yet appear to be entirely operated by Dot Data. U.S. Senate staff interviewed the president of WVM Network, and he admitted that he, quote, only signed his name to documents and knew nothing about the company. By having a hub company with smaller entities beneath it, you can shift the complaint threshold, making it difficult to track, dispute, and remove charges. Disputing CRAM charges is difficult and cost-consuming. A national retail chain reported $550,000 in unauthorized charges on its telephone bills over the past decade. The retail chain estimates it has spent $400,000 in resources battling unauthorized third-party charges. One customer states, "This is the fifth time that I have had charges added to my bill. Every time, I have spent at least a half hour getting these services removed." For More International, one third-party vendor, of the almost 20,000 customer calls, about 9,000 were categorized as issue credit and 4,000 as cancellation. Of the calls to Dot Data-related vendors, about 202,000 were categorized as cancellation. What does SB 138 do? Section 1 of SB 138 enforces truth in billing guidelines. It requires carriers to disclose detailed information on the bill, precludes carriers from billing customers without including details of third-party billing services, and forbids a carrier from discontinuing service to customers who use the contact information to dispute or contest a charge. And Section 2 adds a paragraph to the list of unlawful acts and practices under consumer protection statutes. Section 3 creates a new section that precludes a carrier from billing for another vendor of goods and or services unless the services fall under a list of exemptions. Section 4 adds the new unlawful act or practice from Section 2 to the exclusive jurisdiction of the state, a regulatory board, or a commission. That concludes the PowerPoint presentation, and I would like to say that, or answer questions first, actually, if there are any.
Great. Thank you for the good job of presenting. I just, before I call on public testimony, I was a victim of this, I had a heck of a time getting it off. It went a different way, but my emails on my phone bill, and all of a sudden I started getting charges on my Visa card. And well, I never pay attention, I just pay the thing. And my wife said, "Hold it, what's this charge?" And it was a very small charge, but it mounts up. And all I had done is answer, like I told Senator Wilkowski and the Juno Empire, a travel questionnaire. And so I think that during the interim, we'll be working on further legislation that gets deeper into, different internet accounts as well, because it's, I didn't win anything from the travel company either. We have one person signed up in the audience to testify. Senator Giesel.
Pardon me. Could I move the CS for Senate Bill 138?
I'm sorry.
Version
yes.
E, Echo?
Yes, Senator Giesel.
I just did.
I object for testimony. I apologize. The guy next to me is gone. Thank you very much, Senator. Thank you. Public testimony, Marie Darlin. Welcome back, Marie, representing AARP. Ms. Darlin, welcome again.
Thank you. And my name is Marie Darlin, representing AARP. And you have, I'm sure, in your file, or should have shortly, a letter of support from us. Because consumer protection is definitely one of the things that we are concerned about. And we know that a lot of this that's going on actually has been directed towards, say, seniors and retirees who maybe are not paying that much attention to their telephone bills. And after hearing all this, I'm going home and recheck mine. But anyway, we do want to say that we support this as, you know, another aspect, let's say, of consumer protection that really needs to be looked at. And as all these things go on, it just seems like they keep mounting up. There's more and more of this. So trying to get ahead of it, for one thing, is really a good idea, as much as we can. So therefore, we just want to say that we recommend an aye vote on it and hope that it will get through this session so that we will have at least this much protection then provided.
Great. Thank you very much, Ms. Darlin. Questions for Ms. Darlin? Thank you, Marie, for coming up and joining this rain and testifying in front of us.
You're welcome.
We have folks online that are willing to testify, and we have all the way from San Antonio, Texas, Norm Phipps. Mr. Phipps, are you online?
Yes, I am, Mr. Chairman.
Welcome.
Thank you very much.
If you can give your name and affiliation for the record and give your testimony.
Yes, I will. Thank you, sir. My name is Norman Phipps. I'm the Chief Financial Officer of Billing Services Group. And Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, good afternoon and thank you very much. As I said, I am Norm Phipps, CFO for Billing Services Group, which is also known by its acronym BSG. BSG is the country's largest provider of third-party billing services, and we work closely with service providers and local telephone companies to have charges aggregated onto a single phone bill for consumers. I am joined today by Kelly Cubetta, who is BSG's general counsel, whose responsibilities include overseeing regulatory and compliance matters for the company.
Good afternoon.
It is an honor for us to address the committee today, and I thank you again regarding Senate Bill 138, and we do thank you for this opportunity. First, let me state that we at BSG share the committee's commitment to protecting consumers from cramming. And as this bill is considered, we believe it is important to understand how third-party billing works and the steps the industry has already taken to date to prevent cramming. Third-party billing is fundamentally about consumer choice. Each year, thousands of Alaskans choose to have charges for various services provided by multiple competitors aggregated onto a single phone bill. These services include long-distance, operator services, collect calling, computer technical support, and charitable contributions. There are many reasons consumers make this choice. First, it provides them with access to the services of many different competitors to which they would otherwise not have access. This means they have more choices among service offerings and providers. Second, this broader marketplace leads to greater cost competition, so the consumers are able to get the services they want for a lower price than they might otherwise pay. Third, consumers appreciate the simplicity and convenience of viewing, paying, and managing a single bill rather than many different bills from many different providers. Consumers can see all of their charges in one place and pay for all services through a single check or other method of payment. And fourth, consumers like using an alternate method of payment that, unlike credit cards, is free of interest, saving them money. When consumers buy a service, they authorize the provider of that service to have charges placed on their telephone bill. The provider then submits the charge to a third-party billing services company like BSG, also called a billing aggregator, which works with the local phone company to have charges included on the consumer's telephone bill. The billing aggregator is responsible for accounting, record formatting, and data transmission to have charges included on the consumer's phone bill. The aggregator is also responsible for reviewing sales, marketing, verification, fulfillment, and inquiry processes. The phone bill is sent to the consumer, and the consumer sends payment back to the phone company. The phone company works with the billing aggregator to ensure service providers are paid. Without third-party billing, consumers would have access to fewer services and fewer providers. Consumers' costs likely would go up, and they would suffer the headache of having to manage multiple bills. Just as shopkeepers fight hard to stop shoplifters from pillaging their stores, BSG has fought hard to stop crammers since our incorporation almost 23 years ago. And we have many, many checks and balances in place to thwart cramming. Cramming occurs when charges are placed on a consumer's phone bill without their knowledge, approval, or authorization. It's bad for consumers, and it's bad for businesses. Our efforts to prevent cramming began as soon as a provider applies to become an approved merchant with BSG. With a prospective provider's initial application, BSG begins a 100-point review process, which includes an evaluation of the provider's board and executives, a site visit to its locations, and an evaluation of the provider's sales processes. We also ensure that the provider has a system in place to supply consumers with terms of conditions of each sale and to document consumers' consent to the purchase of these services. This is a very extensive process which often takes up to 9 months to complete. After a provider is approved, we closely analyze the first file of transactions they send to us for inclusion on consumers' phone bills. From this first file, we select a random sample of charges and confirm that every charge in this sample was authorized. If we are unable to confirm authorization for any charge in that sample, we reject the provider and no charges are submitted to the telephone company. Even after a provider is accepted, we continue to monitor its performance each month, evaluating inquiries we receive from our customer service centers, from regulatory bodies, and through the local telephone companies. Any providers that exceed our inquiry thresholds are closely evaluated, and their most recently refunded transactions are tested. If a provider fails these tests, we terminate our relationship with the company immediately. In addition to our own processes, we are committed to helping consumers recognize and join our fight against cramming. BSG spearheaded a coalition that launched a website, knowyourphonebill.org, which educates consumers about how to read their phone bills and how to investigate any charges that may be unfamiliar to them. With these best practices, we've achieved remarkable results. Of the 8 million households for which we provide third-party billing nationally, less than 0.25% inquire about charges included on their bill. Additional investigation frequently finds that charges were in fact authorized, so that actual cramming is a very small portion of the total number of these complaints. In Alaska, the incidence of inquiries is even lower. In 2011, BSG processed 13,536 transactions. Of that number, we received just 14 inquiries from consumers about charges on their bill, equaling 0.1% of all records. Of these 14 inquiries, not a single customer claimed that they had no knowledge of the charge that was included on their bill. We applaud the Senate's goals of stopping cramming. As the industry leader, we have fought hard against cramming, and these numbers demonstrate that our efforts have been successful. We would applaud other third-party billing companies who would look to adopt the same best practices to achieve the same results. However, a portion of the Senate's bill does raise concerns. While the Senate Bill 138 appears to permit third-party billing for telecommunications offered under tariff, customer-initiated direct dial and dial-around services, and operator-assisted calls, the legislation would prohibit billing for other services unless, quote, the vendor has provided the telecommunications carrier with verification of the customer's express authorization, close quote. Such a requirement would be contrary to how third-party billing works. Third-party billing companies work with hundreds of service providers that are too small to maintain their own billing and collection platforms and do not have systems that connect directly with local exchange carriers. Creating the infrastructure necessary to comply with this bill would be extremely costly for these small businesses, and would either negate the cost savings they were able to provide to consumers or result in these small businesses being forced to shut down. In addition, the local telephone companies are not equipped with the resources to receive and review the authorizations prior to billing. In the end, there would be little to no consumer protection added as a result of this legislation. Thousands of consumers across Alaska, many of whom depend on these services to connect with their loved ones and save money, would then lose the benefits of competition, a greater variety of services, lower costs, and convenience. This is simply too high a cost to ask Alaska's citizens to pay.
Mr. Phipps, if you can summarize, please.
Yes, I can. There are unscrupulous actors, Mr. Chairman, and we support the goal of preventing them from engaging in cramming. We believe the best way to do this would be to have the industry investigate new ways to adopt proven best practices and not through legislation that would needlessly punish Alaska's consumers and businesses. We thank you again for your consideration. We'll be happy to answer any questions, and we will also be sending a copy of this testimony to you for placement in the record.
Great. Hey, thank you very much for your comments.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Ms. Kubeva, did you want to testify as well?
No, I'm fine. Thank you.
Okay, great. Thank you. Questions for Mr. Phipps from the committee? I guess I have one, Mr. Phipps. So you're opposed to this legislation, is that correct?
We're opposed to it, Mr. Chairman, in its current form, yes, sir.
Current draft? Okay, thank you. Next online is Matt Wallace from Anchorage, Alaska Public Interest Research Group. Mr. Wallace, welcome.
I'm online.
You're online.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Matt Wallace. I'm the executive director for ACPIRG, the Alaska Public Interest Research Group. We're a statewide, citizen-driven, nonpartisan public interest advocacy organization, which is a mouthful. Much of our work is focused on consumer protection. And a key area of that consumer protection work is addressing tricks, traps, and hidden fees in the marketplace. Certainly, we feel that the practice of telephone cramming is a perfect example of that. So, again, wanted to thank you for the opportunity to testify in support of the bill. As laid out in the initial presentation, you know, some of the key features that make cramming so insidious is that folks are often unaware of these fees and that they, in fact, are poorly disclosed. One added detail I think it's important to note is that many of these charges are very easy to miss, especially because many of them are for arguably phone-related charges, you know, like a voicemail service or something like that. Oftentimes, though, those services provide no real value to the consumer, and because they look like they might be a part of a regular phone bill, they're very easy to miss, and they end up with much, you know, larger phone bills overall for the consumer. And then the other issue that I think is important to emphasize is the difficulty that many consumers have in disputing charges that either are unauthorized right out or whose authorization is in question. And I think that's another reason why addressing this practice head on is something that's important to do. I'll keep my comments short. In our view, this bill is a uniquely effective way to address the issue because it focuses on really eliminating the practice and not just on additional disclosures, which would likely have a more limited impact. So really, I'll wrap up by saying on behalf of our members, we strongly urge your support of the bill, and I'm happy, of course, to answer any questions if there are any.
Great. Thank you very much, Mr. Wallace. Questions for Mr. Wallace from the committee? Seeing none, Matt, you lucked out. Next to we have three other folks online to provide answers to questions if we may have any. Stuart Gehring from Anchorage, Assistant Attorney General, Regulatory Commission. Are there questions from the senators for Mr. Gehring? Or, Stuart, did you have any replies to the testimony you've heard so far?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, I am Stuart Gehring. I am an Assistant Attorney General assigned to the Commercial and Fair Business Section. My primary responsibility is advising and representing the Regulatory Commission of Alaska. And the Regulatory Commission has responsibility for overseeing, among other things, telecommunications carriers in Alaska. And I think my primary reason for being here today is to be able to answer your questions as they might relate to the subject matter overseen by the Regulatory Commission, and not necessarily to take a position on the bill. I will say I have been working with Mr. Presley in Senator Wilikowski's office on this bill for some time now, and they've been very responsive to our concerns, and actually the committee substitute that you've tentatively adopted reflects a couple of the comments that we've made.
Great, thank
so
you.
If you have questions, I'd certainly be happy to take them.
Great. Thank you very much, Mr. Gearing. We do have a question. Senator Giesel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Gearing, I understand that the FCC has an open docket on this issue. Are you aware of that, and do you have any sense of what the timeline is for their decision?
Senator Giesel, through the chair, I am aware of the fact that the FCC has a docket open as well. I do not believe they have a timeline for the resolution of that docket. I will also note that the Federal Trade Commission has opened an investigation of this practice as well. And again, no real good idea of exactly what kind of timeline they have for resolving that.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Stuart. We appreciate your sticking around and providing testimony. We also have Cindy Drinkwater, Attorney General's Office, Consumer Protection. Ms. Drinkwater, did you like or would you like to provide any testimony? I see you're here just to or online just to answer questions.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Cindy Drinkwater. I am an Assistant Attorney General in the Consumer Protection Unit, and I am here if there are any questions. I did not have plan to offer testimony. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. And believe it or not, all the way from Washington, D.C., we have Howard Waltzman from the office of Mayor Brown in Washington, D.C. Mr. Waltzman, we see that you're online to provide answers to questions that you or testimony that you may have heard previously. Welcome to the teleconference, Howard, and do you have anything for us?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Howard Waltzman. I'm a partner at Mayor Brown LLP in Washington, and I'm outside counsel to BSG. The one thing that I would like to comment on, and I'm happy to answer any questions, is that the presentation that was made refers to the U.S. Senate Commerce Committee report on cramming. That report was rather limited in scope. It relied on a lot of anecdotal evidence and a telephone survey that was limited to customers of three third-party service providers and their affiliates. Those third-party service providers were ones that have been accused of cramming. So the notion that the anything that can be discerned from that survey is somehow indicative of the industry as a whole, I would say, is not accurate. I would also say that the FCC's 15 to 20 million person figure for cramming seems to be extremely high given the number of people who subscribe to third-party billing services. So that's sort of the extent of the commentary I have based on the testimony, but I'm happy to answer questions.
Great. Thanks, Howard. Questions for Mr. Waltzman? Great. Thank you very much for your testimony. I guess I have a question for you, Mr. Waltzman. As an FCC licensee for over 40 years, I just sold my radio stations. It seems to me like when the FCC opens a docket, there's an issue. And if the FCC opens a docket, obviously consumers have complained, and the Federal Trade Commission has opened a docket. Do you have any reaction to that? I mean, we're not accusing you, but there are unscrupulous people out there that we're trying to get a handle on.
Well, there's no question that there are unscrupulous actors in this field, as there are in many fields. The FCC opened a docket to, you know, largely refresh a record, an activity that's been ongoing. As was mentioned before, sort of since the early 90s, the FCC hasn't really had any major action since, I believe, 1999. And with the existence of an incidence of cramming, the FCC decided to, you know, seek comment on a number of proposals, some of which they specifically endorsed, as to whether or not these new proposals would help reduce cramming even further. But I would note, and again, the FTC doesn't have sort of a formal open proceeding. I mean, the FTC, like the FCC, have both gone after specific bad actors and brought enforcement actions against them. But I don't personally view the existence of the FCC docket as indicative of there being sort of an epidemic in this area, that there is this pervasive amount of cramming out there. And in fact, when you look at the evidence, and this evidence was put on the record during the FCC's comment cycle in 2011, that the actual incidents of cramming are extremely low.
Great. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Waltzman. Senator Walkowski, would you like to provide
a rebuttal
or further testimony from you or your staff?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Again, for the record.
And again, before you, we're not moving this bill out of here today, so there will be ample opportunity for.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And again, for the record, Bill Walkowski. I just want to make clear that we support legitimate third-party charges, and it's not our intent to ban third-party charges. We're trying to get to those that are unauthorized, and I think the bill is and I guess just let me address one point that was made by the gentleman from, I think, San Antonio, and his suggestion was that industry adopt best practices, and I think we've seen in the presentation that we tried this. We tried. The federal government said to the industry, go ahead, and we're not going to regulate you. Go ahead and try to work this out yourself. And unfortunately, that has not worked. And so because industry was unable to fix this problem themselves, I think it's up to the legislatures of the states to come together and try to protect people who are having unauthorized charges put on their phone bills. If industry can't solve this problem on their own, we can step in and do that. And I think that's perfectly appropriate here. We're seeing, and there probably are many charges that are legitimate, but there are certainly, it appears based on the evidence that I've seen, many, many charges that are not legitimate. And so what this bill does is essentially two things. Number one, it requires that the phone companies clearly identify where the charges came from. And this is one of the problems that we've seen. And I would urge you to read the Senate report, the United States Senate report, if you haven't. That's one of the big problems that you hear, is that people just don't know where the charges come from. So what this bill does in Section 1 is it requires them to say, here's who's charging you. Here's the phone number if you have a dispute. Very simple. I don't think that's unreasonable at all. The second thing that it does, the second major item, is it requires express authorization. If you get a phone call from someone and you never authorize specifically a charge, but you say, sure, send me that free sample, and you can read the things that are in the packet, and then they take that as an authorization to start charging you $49.95 a month or $12.95 a month under something that says voicemail or something that says electronic fax servicing, that's inappropriate. That should not be tolerated. And so what we're saying is get express authorization. I think that's a perfectly reasonable step for us to take. So that's my response. I'm happy to work with legitimate third-party agents out there that have concerns. And if they have concerns, I will meet with them. I will sit down with them. We'll try to fix this bill. We're not trying to harm any legitimate small businesses. You know, one of the interesting points that was made by one of the testifiers was that this would hurt small businesses. There's these small businesses set up, and they don't have the accounting practices set up. Well, that's exactly the point. They set up these. We've seen evidence that they set up dozens of small businesses, and it's all a ruse. And the purpose of it is so that they can go out and use these as sort of shields, so that you can't figure out who's actually charging you. So I'm happy to work with legitimate third party agents to fix this, to tweak this if it needs to be tweaked. We've worked with the Department of Law and addressed their concerns, Mr. Chairman. And I thank you again for taking this up and for hearing this today.
Great. Thank you. Further questions for Senator Wilikowski. Senator Giesel.
Yes, Senator Wilikowski, I might have missed it in your staff's presentation, but how many states are enacting this legislation?
Let me turn it over to Thomas, who's done a lot more research on this than I.
Through the chair, Senator Giesel, right now there is Vermont, Virginia, New York, and Minnesota.
Senator Giesel.
And the other thing I wondered is, could we find out the status or what's happening with the Federal Communications and Federal Trade Commission's dockets, just for information?
We'll get that for you.
Thank you.
Senator, absolutely.
Senator Wilikowski, would you object if we held testimony open to the next hearing on this bill, just in case we have additional information and you'd be more than willing to bring
absolutely
in extra people and provide it?
Rather,
I think it's an important piece of legislation. Absolutely. I don't think that people fully understand what's going on.
Yeah, absolutely, Mr. Chair. Let's get it right.
Great. Thank you, Senator Wilikowski. Is there objection from the committee to continue public testimony and hopefully get the bill out of here? Great.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Senator Wilikowski. Good to see you and your staff again. Anything else to come before the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee? We're adjourned at 2:35. Thank you.